God is here in the midst. I'm glad you're here. There's no better place to be right here. Be with God's people, worshiping. We have the Word of God. This morning, we're in the Gospel of John, chapter 15. We're continuing a series, The Life and Ministry of Jesus Christ. We're in the Upper Room Discourse, and in John, chapter 15, and in verse 18, the Bible says, Jesus speaking, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. And this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law, they hated me without a cause." Father, we need your help this morning, Lord. We thank you for your word. But we also thank you for the Spirit of God. And I trust, God, that the Spirit of God will work through the Word of God. You'll help me communicate the things that you have put upon my heart as well. But God, your Word doesn't return void, and we need to hear from you today to understand why there is such opposition against you, against our lives, against our walk with you. Help us, Lord, have the biblical insight, and then help us understand how to move forward in the love, in the grace, in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I tell you what, as we're going through the scriptures this morning, in last week we were talking about the love of God, and specifically in our message last week, we understood the command to love. In verse 9 of 15, Jesus says, "As a father loved me, I also loved you. Abide in my love." We saw in verse 17, the closing of last week's message, "These things I command you, that you love one another." In the heart of last week's message came out of verse 13, 14, where it says, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down his life for your friends." And Jesus says, "You're my friends." So last week we talked about the love of God and the command to love. We talked about this, a relationship that we have with the Lord called friends. Amen? And then right away, the next verse, remember, when this was written is a letter. There was not the chapters and the verses in that. And it says, "If the world hates you." So hate and love are in great contrast right there in those verses that we have. And they're strong words. If you say to somebody, "I love you," that's powerful. And if you say to someone, "I hate you," that's powerful. One's going to build up and one's going to destroy and to do great damage. And Jesus is saying that in this world, in verse 18, he's telling us, in this world, people will hate you. And he's saying, don't be put off by that, because they hated me also. You see, to tell the truth today about sin, so when I tell the truth from the Bible about sin, people say that what I'm communicating is hate speech. So I'm communicating truth from God's word, not my opinion, truth from God's word about the sin that plagues our life and society, and I'm labeled as somebody that's communicating hate speech. Nothing could be further from the truth. But we're living in today in a time where this opposition is intensifying with greater frequency. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 through 5, Paul is saying, preach the word, be ready, in season and out. Paul says the work of the ministry is to convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Why? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. That time has come. We're well within that time frame. We're living in the time frame where people, even Christians, will not endure sound doctrine. Paul says, here's what they do. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they'll heap for themselves teachers, and they'll turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to fables. And he says, be watchful in all these things. Endure afflictions. I feel like as a believer, and maybe you feel the same way, it's enduring afflictions right now like never before. The spirit of the Antichrist is amongst us in this world. Do the work of an evangelist. We're not all gifted as evangelists, but we're all called to proclaim the gospel, to do that work. We're not all gifted with the gift of giving liberally, but we're all called to give. And Jesus is helping us understand something. Did you see something recently? I'm just going to hit some bullet points. But something was out there in social media this week. There was a group of high school students that went to a prom, and they were attending a dinner in a restaurant, and they were praying before the meal. Does anybody know anything about this? Okay. I feel good now. I can explain it. New. Okay. So one of the parents took a picture of the kids praying and put it out there and just was, this is good. And I agree. It's good. But on social media, it was attacked. Vehemently oppose, what do you think you're saying? Are Christians all the good ones? And this, it just got down on it, and my heart broke. See, this morning when I was coming in early, and I live by Linden Public High School, and driving, coming to the corner, all of a sudden, I think every sheriff car vehicle was at the Linden High School on the streets outside of the high school, plus heavy armored vehicle inside. And I'm turning and thinking, oh my. Oh, Alex, I know you live right there. I was thinking, what did you do? He lives across the street. We live down the other side. But I'm driving, and what they, I'm sure, did was a tactical sense of approaching the high school in the event of an active shooter or something like that. So it was a drill. But they had all their stuff, all their gear. They were putting it all away. And as I was driving by there, I'm aware of my message this morning. I'm aware of the point I'm making right now. I don't have to look to make things up. We're living in a time where this type of preparation is needed and necessary. It wasn't but a few weeks ago in Florida, in the shooting, the devastation. And we know we're just on the verge of whoever or wherever next. That's not pessimistic. I live in this world. Hatred is building, building, building. The opposition is strong. But driving by, I'm thankful for these people in our community that serve. We have a sign out in front that says, thank you to the law enforcement that helped keep us safe. Amen? Amen? But I'm driving by there, and in my mind, it goes quickly to what happened at the last school shooting and how terrifying it is. And it creates trauma within every one of those students and parents and teachers. It's trauma that will affect their life the rest of their life to some degree or another. That's what it does. And afterwards, they have prayer vigils and cameras come in and groups are praying and candles are lit and pictures are there and people in some way are working through the trauma and the tragedy of it all. And it's looked at in a sacred way. Students praying and crying and coming together and just being there. And then you have an event that a student should be able to enjoy without all the pressure. A prom, it's a good thing. So much of our students, so much of your world is being stolen away, the fun and the good things. And here they are praying in a good way without all the trauma, and it's criticized. And it's just sad when you see that. Not that you read GQ magazine. I always think of DQ, but GQ magazine. They just published an article that the Bible's not worth reading. California right now has a bill that they want to pass targeting Christian pastors and Christian resources. It's pretty staggering. Facebook obviously was caught for discriminating against conservative and Christian content, which is a very powerful, it's one of the most powerful tools out there right now for communicating. Satanists this week declared war on the Ten Commandments in Arkansas, something the devil would love to do. School districts forbid parents for opting their kids out of LGBT lessons. George Washington University recently had a workshop on Christian privilege, saying that we're promoting that our life, or they believe that our life is easier than non-Christians. And to say God bless you, in their mind, is Islamic phobic. I'm thinking, are you kidding me? What world do you live in? My life would be way easier if I followed what you do. Your world, just it's all about you. It's not. It is to live godly in Christ Jesus is the most difficult thing to do in this world. To stay the course and to say I want God's way and not my own. It is a battle. It's a battle in my mind, in my heart, in my emotions, and in fighting. And when I fall short of seeking God for forgiveness and to stay the course and to finish the race. Christian Post news article, ChristianPost.com, a year ago had an article. It was picked up by the news that was distributed. This is what it said. The study that was released, they found that 90,000 Christians, or one Christian every 6 minutes, were killed in 2016. It says, in the last week, several news organizations reported on the persecution of Christians around the world and cited our figures of 90,000 Christians martyred in 2016. And it tells us that even though 90,000 Christians were martyred might seem like a lot in 1 year, but the think tank maintains that 90,000 Christians have died each year on the average from 205 to 215 on an average. So that you do the math quick, that's 900,000 in 10 years, or nearly a million Christians. From the research that I've read, obviously we're communicating something out of the first century when Christ came, correct? Then we have the book of Acts and the great opposition to the church. And Jesus said before he left, the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church. So we're thankful. The world isn't going to take down the church, and no one. It'll stand on its own because Jesus is the founder of the Christian faith. Amen. He's the pastor. He's the leader. It's his church. So we can relax in that regard. We realize we're fighting the opposition. But in my research, from the first century to this last century, from the first century to the last, so we're in the 20th century, 21st century, more Christians were killed in the last century than all the other centuries combined. Now, we have to understand the population's a lot greater than it was in the first century, right? So we have to understand that, but still, to understand more Christians were martyred in the last century than all the other centuries combined. And it's not slowing down. A couple of other bullet points here. A decorated army chaplain is facing a career-ending punishment, it looks like it, or judgment, because he was asked to do a marriage retreat. But at the marriage retreat, same-sex couple was going to come and was adamant about that. So for him, with his belief, he, on his own, took the initiative to get somebody else to pitch it for him. Can you take this assignment? It's one that it just deals with my conscience too much. Can you take it? So arrangements were made. Everything went on. I'll just step aside and I'll let you do that. He may lose everything because of that. You see, It's interesting. People are willing to tolerate everything except Christianity, except the truth. In our own state, Washington State high school football coach, he was punished, fired, because he took a knee at the 50-yard line. But it was something that he had been doing for years. It wasn't something that I'm just going to do to cause a media frenzy and draw attention to myself. It's something he did as a head coach. I appreciate the coaches that we have in our fellowship and just coaches growing up. Coaches that are just character. I mean, they've got it into the class of a coach going to the 50-yard line. If you guys want to join for prayer, we give it to God afterwards. But then the opposition came, says, you can't do that. But he says, I'm going to do that, and you're out. And they tried to appeal it, and it went to the Ninth Circuit Court, which is, you know, not one that you're going to win many issues on that, and it's out now, so it's not going anywhere. 2 Timothy 3:1-5, know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Friends, we are here. We're in this realm right now. So this was written, given to us, and it's saying there's going to come a time, and the time is now. The time is now. You say, Pastor, you're just hyping it all up. You're just trying to get us to buy into what's going on, your opinion. Friends, I don't want you to buy into anything other than believe what God has said. Believe it. Believe what he has said. We've been going through an end time study on Wednesday night. So the end time study, we're just talking about the time and day in which we live according to the Bible. Has there ever been a time where Israel's been back in the nation and the world has great hostility against Israel? Well, Pastor, you for Israel? Oh, absolutely. Why? Well, where was Jesus born? Where is he coming back to? Where's his feet going to hit? Where is he going to set up his kingdom? Jesus says, the angel said, just as you have seen him leave, he will return in a like manner. I believe God. I believe God. I don't believe the opinions of people that are outside of the Bible. You got Russia, and you got Iran, and you got Turkey, and you got Syria, you got North Korea, you got China. You got all these players right now in place happening. You got the ability, we have the ability with technology to pretty much inventory the whole world if someone was to take a mark or something to keep track of things. The world is looking for a leader. Is it not? Who's the leader? We're looking for a world leader. You ever hear of a one world government? It comes out of the Bible. My friends, we're here. I love you, Jesus says, but the world hates you because they hated Christ. Why? Because he's the king. And we're living in a world of rebellion against the king. He's also the judge in a world who does not think they're guilty. He was the divine being. He came to be a human being and threw the world into conflict. Now, when we're looking here at our text and we're saying, why must we face persecution? Back in 18, why? Because they hated Jesus. So they're going to hate you. So you can take it personally if you want, but the hatred really is directed out of Christ in you. Say, well, Pastor, it's kind of tough right now. I mean, here we are. We're in this world. I've got a family. I go to school. I have ambitions. I have a job. I've got things. We have our church. We're here in this world. But how do you live in this world? How do you live in this world as a Christian? That's a good question. So I thought I'd bring a little illustration. Is that all right? I like illustrations. So over in Ephesians chapter 2, in Ephesians chapter 2, as I'm looking for chapter 2, verse 1 through 4, he says, Ephesians 2, 1 through 4 says, and you he made alive who were dead in your trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of the wrath, just as others, but drum roll, but God. I love it. But God. So here's all of that, but God. Can you say that in your testimony? This is the way I once lived. This is who I once was. This is what I was pursuing, but God. Amen. So here's a picture of the world right here. And I wrote, you can't see it, but it basically means I'm in the world. In the world. It's in world. Okay, so I'm in the world. Here's the world right here. I'm in this world. But friends, something happened in my life. I was in the world. I was born in the world. Born in 1953 in the world. But in 1978, I met Jesus Christ. He met me right here. He called me out of this world. And so now, my friends, I'm in Christ. You got it? In the world, I'm in Christ. But here's the problem. Here's a problem for me. You see, once I got saved and filled with the love of God, in a sense of, I remember saying, I can start over again. I mean, that was so liberating. In other words, I believe God. All my sins are washed away. I believe God, a new creation in Christ. I believe it. I needed it. I'm in. Amen? Amen. And I was so excited. He can do that to me. And I think of my friends. Think of my family. Think of everybody else. Everybody I meet, they're going to want to follow Jesus. Of course they are. And just thrilled and alive. And to my disappointment, what do you mean you don't want Christ? You sinner, you need Christ. I was a worse sinner than you. We did all these things together. But he saved me. I'm in Christ. He wants to save you too. You want this. You know you do. Yes, you do. You want to fight? You need Jesus. You need him. Now. And I remember getting my family together. All I can say today is they were extremely patient with me. They should have slapped me. Because of just a lot of zeal. And Jesus would eventually communicate to my heart as Sean was saying this morning, as he's communicating to us in his relation with God, he's hearing God, and God said to me, how about loving them for a while? How about try loving them? How about serving them? You know how to communicate when you get the opportunity, but you've been communicating, but without the love. How about loving them? Can you do that? And it was just like orders from headquarters. That's a good idea. And I'm, you know, it's been 40 years, but I'm still working. God's still working that work. Hey, nice idea, Pastor, but you left the topic. You said you have the world and you're saved. So how does this work? How do you do this? So if the world is here and I'm here, right here on this, here's me, here's the world. My friends, I believe that this is isolation. If I'm just here and the world's here and there's that distance, it's isolation, and that's not going to help. God has called you and me to be an influence in this world. The world hates you because the light of Christ lives in you. The world hates you because you love God and you love his word. And God says, I've chosen you to have an influence in this world in which you live. So by being here and separating or being isolated, it's not going to be good. Actually, what's going to happen is I'm going to start to stink because my life is all about me. But when it starts to be about other people, especially other people that don't like me and could care less about me, but I start to love them, God humbles me. And he creates a fragrance within my life. The sweet-smelling fragrance. So I'm not going to be able to relate like this. So then, Lord, how do I relate? And the other idea is to take part of me and part of the world and kind of intersect it a little bit. And that part that is intersected there, that's where I'm at. But I don't like that because that's a compromise. I'm partly in the world and I'm partly in Christ. It creates compromise for me. So how is it then? Well, here's the world, and I'm in Christ, and I'm in the world. I'm in Christ. I'm in the world. I'm in Christ. In the world, you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I'm in Christ, but I'm in the world. But I'm not of the world, but I'm in the world. And here's, does that help out? Sort of. It worked good with the children's ministry, okay? How? Back to 18. Okay, the world hates you because it hated God. 19. If you were of the world would love its own. So if you just bought into the world, no problem. If you just were a part of the world, you got a fraternity, you got friends, you're in. There's no opposition. But you're not that, verse 19. Because God, as believers, he chose you out of the world. And my friends, when you used to traffic in the world and you got saved and you are in Christ out of the world, the Bible tells us the world hates you. I can't believe it. What's with you? Oh, you're just so better than us now, aren't you? Look at you. We know who you are. We know what you did. Come on. Oh, you don't party anymore? You used to be the big partier, but you don't party more. What's up with that? Come on. You don't want to be with us? I thought you're supposed to evangelize us. How are you going to evangelize us if we're not around? How are you going to save us? You don't have any of those conversations ever? Just in my world? I mean, come on. Come on. Come on out with us. I mean, you used to have quite a few brews. Just have one. You don't have to get like you. Just have one. I'd say just have none. Oh, there you go again. No, here's the deal. This is where, for us as believers, I think we need to wake up. It's really simple. It's really simple. Jesus is talking about our relationship with the world. We're struggling, right, with the world. There's opposition. We wish it wasn't that way. Why don't they love me? I love them. Why do they hate me? The more I love them, the more they hate me. What is it? Listen, we were the same. We were the same. We did things that were ungodly. We said things about other Christians or other ministries or things before Christ apprehended us. So what is it? What do you do? There's two words. Both words start with the letter A. And this has to do with my relationship with the world. I want to influence the world for Christ. It's no secret. I don't keep it a secret. I don't like, hey, you know, I used our friendship for the last 6 months, and now I'm going to bring you the gospel full bore. It's like, what was that all about? Because you rightfully just kind of used that. I think it's important up front to say who you are and whose you are, right up front. Well, what about friendship evangelism? That's fine, but I'm going to let them know who my best friend is at the very beginning. Well, how do you do that? Well, you can do it any way you want. I usually just say, hey, by the way, I'm a Christian pastor, and I care about people, and I'm thankful for what God did in my life, and I love more people to know of his great love and grace and forgiveness. So anyways, how'd the Mariners do this week? Whatever. I said, I attached myself, so there's no surprises. You know where I'm at. You know where I'm at. There's no false pretense. There's no sneaking around. It's like, no, that's where I'm at. And you could say the same thing. How was Sunday? It was okay. I went to this guy. He's a little bit out of it, but it was good. And, we're learning about Jesus. You want to attach yourself to that. So there's two words. They both start with the letter A. The first one is adapt, and the other is adopt. Adopt or adapt. They sound alike, especially the way I pronounce them. It's that South Linden accent. I'm not going to adopt the practices of the world. I was delivered from them. Amen. I'm not going to adopt them. I'm delivered from them. I don't need them. They're not a part of me. I'm in Christ. I don't need to adopt them. I adopted so much of them in me. I'm trying to get rid of them through prayer. But I will adapt to your situation. Where are you at? Hey, what do they wear when you at that event? They wear a tie? I'll come with a tie and coat. What do you have? I will adapt to situations, whatever situation I can. I'll adapt. Let me know. But I will not adopt the practices. Does that make sense? And I think that's a good word for the church right now. Because I believe every church, benefit of the doubt, every church, every Christian ministry wants to see more people reach for Christ. Why are we here? So I believe that. I give that. But I think many times we yield more to the carnal practices than to a Holy Spirit-led way of doing things. And I'm not saying that this is it, but for me, I've had 40 years to work through trying to understand, how do you do this? Where are the boundaries? Where are the lines? How does this take place? So back in verse 20, it says, remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. Why does the world hate us? Because it hated Jesus. Okay? That's why. Because you're related to him. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ lives in you. Why does the world hate you? Why is the world in opposition? Because of Christ. Because of Christ. Listen, we can say, I'm spiritual. The whole group will embrace that for the most part. I believe in God. Whole group will embrace that. God is good. See, it's on my shirt. Whole group will embrace that. Jesus Christ died on the cross for the sins of the world. Well, why are you getting all religious now? Why are you putting religious on us? Why are you doing this? See, that's the difference. Why? Because I said it's Jesus. You bring Jesus into it. He even told us that, you know, the cross is foolishness to those that are perishing, but those who are being saved, it is the power of God. 1 Peter 2:7-8, therefore, to you who believe, it is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builder rejected has become the chief cornerstone. It tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:18-21, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Then he says, you are in Christ. You're in the world. Christ lives in you. And my friends, God's called us to see the world reconciled to Christ because Christ lives within you. Are you following on this? What do you think your life's about? What is our life about? Well, it's about finishing this quarter of school or semester. That certainly is a part of your life. No, it's about my job. It's a great job. It's a chance for advancement. Good. Glad to hear that. It's about. My friends, our life is about our relationship with Jesus Christ, loving him and making him known. That's what it is. Well, what about my job? Well, praise God that you have gifting and a job. Praise God that He's providing for you and your family. That's great. Praise God that hopefully some of those resources support a work, support giving out the gospel, taking a mission trip. But that's not what your life is. Your life is hidden in Christ. Christ is keeping us here. It's His prerogative as long as He wants, because He wants us to be able to affect this world with Him. Why does the world hate you? Because it hated Christ. Because the light of the world lives within you. Why does the world hate you? Well, it hates you in verse 20 is because you have the Word of God, because they kept the Word. Why does the world hate you? Because you believe God's Word. Why does the world hate you? Because you believe God's Word. You answer something that this is what the Bible says, and it starts a battle right away. Because the battle is against Jesus, because Jesus is the Word. He is the Word. So when you bring Jesus in as dying on the cross, that's offensive. You bring the Word in, Jesus is the Word, that's offensive. Why does the world hate you? Verse 21, because they don't know Him. You'll see it. Because they do not know Him. They hate you. They don't know Him. They don't know who He is. They don't know who you're talking about. So they take it out on you. The battle is between them and the Lord. Why does the world hate you? Look at verse 22. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Listen. Listen. No one is going to stand before God and give the Lord Jesus Christ, the King and the Judge, an excuse that's going to keep them from going to hell. Friends, there's only two eternal destinations. Two. Heaven and hell. That's it. That's what Jesus taught. Two eternal places. He says, I'm coming down to pay your way to be with Me. I love you so much, you can't get to heaven without a sacrifice. I'll be your sacrifice. I'm leaving heaven to make a way for you to come home to heaven. Your citizenship is not here. You're a pilgrim. You're traveling through. I've asked you to be an ambassador and to speak for Me as you're journeying through here. You're an alien. You're foreign. You're a pilgrim. This isn't your home. The more you live here, the more uncomfortable you feel, the more ready you are to see Jesus. And Jesus said, when people see Me face to face, there's not going to be any excuse accepted. He's made Himself known to the entire world. Have you liked the last few days of sunshine in the Northwest, huh? Thank you, Lord. Bring it on. That's great. No, yes, I like it. I think it's like, where did that come from? That's good. It's very interesting. It was interesting. I was meeting with some other pastors, and some of them are working in construction. They work in construction. And when they moved up here from Southern California, they had all the cords out and everything and busy doing their work. And of course, first time it started to rain, they were rolling them up. You know that is, guys, rolling up the cords. Roll them up! The guys on the job from Washington said, what are you doing? It's raining, man. Roll them up. We got the electrical cords. No, not really. Actually, we roll them up when it's sunny. That's when we roll them up, the time we get up. Anyways, there's no excuse. You see, if you're in John right now, which hopefully you are, if you turned over to the left to John chapter 3, and in John chapter 3, bringing this here to a conclusion, we're saying without excuse, what's one of the most popular verses in the Bible? What is it? John what? 3:16, that's it. But it'd do us well to read after that. So John 3:17, It's going to answer the question why there's no excuse. It's going to help us about hatred. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him would be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world. My friends, you are a light. You are a light in this world. And men make a choice. Men and women make a choice. Your life, your testimony is a crossroad. When they see you, they know you, they hear about you, they follow you. You present a crossroad. Your life presents a decision. Light and darkness, it's clear. We never report to anyone we live a perfect life. I let you know that. Paul said, I'm the chief of sinners. I might be right behind him. Okay? Becoming a Christian doesn't keep you from sinning. It keeps you moving quicker for repentance and restoration and cleansing and not wanting to lose out on that fellowship with the Lord. Verse 19, light has come. Men love the darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. Look at verse 22 of John 3. Everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they've been done in God. My friends, Jesus is saying they hate you. They hate you because they hated me. They hate you because I live within you. There's a light within you. They hate you because I, through the word of God, dwell in you. You communicate my word to others. They hate you. Verse 24 or verse 22, he says that no one's going to be without excuse. You need to understand that. There are no excuses. It tells us in verse 24, if I have not done them the works. So not only the word of God, but the works that he did testifies. And not only that, there's the prophetic word. In verse 25, he quotes, they hated me without a cause. In verse 26 and 27, he speaks about the helper, the Holy Spirit. See, Pastor, I understand that. And I'm thinking through your illustration in Christ, in the world. I want to make a difference. I feel set back. What can help out? The Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God.